Good morning. So it's funny how things work out. You know, 5 weeks ago, God laid this, I don't know, in front of me, this message series. I guess kids, I better start there. Brody, behave. I'll try it. Laid this message series out to me, and I wasn't sure where it was going to go. And you know, the first message, God is always speaking. I had pages of notes, a lot of it from people a lot smarter than me. Today, this week, God said, man, I don't want you to use notes in the outline from the... He said, I'm going to give it to you. I said, okay. So today, the message is entitled, God, the Always God, God is Always Listening. And before we do anything else, I'm going to go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and we know that You're always here. We know that You're always listening. Lord, just come here today, be here today, and take me out of the equation and give my tongue what You want to be brought out, Lord. I'm listening, I'm trying to follow what You want, Lord, and just... I'm laying this all at Your feet, Lord, and just take me out of the equation and shut my mind down and let me be Your mouthpiece today. In Your name we pray, amen. So it's funny how... Again, I know I've shared before about my grandfather and how he never, I don't remember him being like, he was always on the board of trustees or the board of deacons at church and whatever. But again, the music today, you know, there's a reason things happen because I needed to hear that song today, Up From the Grave He Arose. Because I flash back to standing beside my grandfather and he was just belting that out. He was a terrible singer, worse than me. So Les, I'm sorry if you heard me singing today because it's bad. But there's just certain things when you listen for them, God points out to you. And the illustration I want to use, I didn't get it to Alan or Julie in time, but I saw it this week and it was like a menu board. And, you know, the ones where you put the letters in. And it said, Dear God. And then it just had a pile of letters in the middle of it. And then it said, Amen. And the next message board said, Dear Christian, I got this. Amen. And guys, I don't care. You know, you can pray to God in the most organized. Bam, 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 bam. He hears it. You can have the most incomplete thoughts, but He hears it. You don't even have to say it. And He hears it. So I thought that little illustration was kind of cool. Where we're going to go today is 2 Kings. Well, that's where we're going to start. This was the passage from... The notes that I used. But, man, when I was studying, God laid a lot more out there. So I hope we can get to most of it. Good news is, it was 10:25. I got up here, so that's good. We're good. But I also want to point out that Jenny and I didn't talk. And you know the thing about relationships? You know what the most important thing about relationships is to do? Listen. You know, Chris can tell me 1,000 things. If I don't listen, it doesn't matter what she tells me. And sometimes I don't listen to that small last little detail because I just hear, hey, take the trash out, or hey, whatever. But that last little detail she leaves, puts in there. So in relationships, And in our relationship with God, we have to listen. He listens. So we're going to go to 2 Kings, and a little bit about 2 Kings is, you know, there's a bunch of different stories inside of 2 Kings. But you know what I take from 2 Kings? If you don't like what's going on with your neighbor, you know what you do? You invade them. I mean, and in that day and age, that's how life was. You know, if you had a problem with your neighbor, you went and took over his sheep herd. You went and invaded him, you just did it. If you were a king and you had an army and you didn't like what the guy to the west was doing, guess what you did? You took your army and you went over and kicked his tail. There was no listening back then. You know, neighbors today, we have conversations. We communicate. Neighboring countries today, we try to communicate. I think our listening has broke down. I think our whole reason for who we stand for and what we are is breaking down. And we don't listen. You know who we listen to today? Me. We got ourselves a world of trouble because of it. So 2 Kings chapter 19. This is about King Hezekiah. I'm going to start in verse... I'm going to read in verse 1. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on his sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim in the place of the administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, "This is what Hezekiah says. This is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them." So guys, what do I take from that? It's poor, pitiful me. Right? They think, oh, we are done. We are done. Okay? Let's go to verse 4. "It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commanders, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives." Guys, we're in that world right now today. We're in that world right now today. And I can assure you that that God that was listening there is the same God that's listening today to our prayers. You know, and when we pray for those that pass on, what do we pray for? We pray for the family that's remaining. We rejoice for the person that leaves because they're with God. But we pray for the remnants. It's biblical. When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. These words which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen. When he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword." So the word underlings, it means youth or lads. And lads, I don't know, anybody Irish here? They use that term a lot, lads, right? I think. And it refers to your buddies. So it was this. They're immature kids. But because Isaiah chose not to use the expected term of servants of the king, it has a pejorative sense of as reflected in translation underlings. Robert Alter cleverly translates the word as flunkies. So if you're called an underling, guess what? You don't want to be there. And these guys were underlings for the king of Assyria, and they were just running their mouth. Okay? And it kind of goes with Jen's devotion. Kids, school-age kids, and a lot of times they just run their mouths. They don't have any idea what they're saying. But when the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna. So again, like I said earlier, this king of Assyria, man, he don't like anybody. So he's just going around, just bouncing around, fighting, and he's spreading garbage out of his mouth. Sound familiar? We're going to go down to verse 14. Hezekiah's prayer. Hezekiah received a letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have known their gods. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may now know that you alone are Lord our God. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty bold. We've talked about it before. When we ask for prayer, we need to be bold. Hezekiah wasn't messing around here, right? He was bold. He wants everybody to know there's only one God. We're going to skip over to chapter 20. Hezekiah becomes ill. And read the rest of 19. Isaiah does some prophesying there, and it's pretty cool. But I want to get to some other passages, so we're going to skip a little bit. But I want you to know, God heard what the guys were saying about him. God heard what the guys were saying about the other countries. God heard what Hezekiah was saying. Hezekiah's illness. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left in the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him, Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Guys, if you don't think God's listening, I'm sure Hezekiah wasn't real pleased to hear that news that he's going to die. You know, when you hear, you need to get your affairs in order because you got 15 days to live. That's hard. So Hezekiah took that hard, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't throw a pity party. He wept. And he cried out to God. And we've seen that here time and time and time again of prayers being answered. In this church, 2,000 some years later than Hezekiah, we've seen it. We should know that God is listening. But does anybody have something in their life they've been praying for? Matt's got one he's been praying for how long? 20-some years, right? Why isn't that answered? God, you're not listening to me. But you know what? It's on God's time. And it's on God's will. Matt knows it. God is using that prayer for Matt to teach Matt, to strengthen Matt, to do whatever, because he is still praying for that 20 years later. And if God wasn't using that, Matt wouldn't be thinking about it still. But guys, what happens? We get antsy. You know, we're a now society, okay? Now society. And if you don't believe that, look at fast food. There's a fast food place or a Dollar General with every corner. We want instant answer, instant gratification. And if we don't get it, we think nobody's listening. And I'm that way. When the kids were growing up, if I told them, okay, I want this, this, and this done, and I didn't get that jump, I didn't think they were listening. So I had to turn their hearing up. God uses our situation to turn our hearing up. He's listening. But are we listening? We'll go on here. Verse 7. Then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up in the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? And Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. Rather have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps had gone down on the stairway to Ahaz. So guys, again, and some of us don't learn Old Testament-wise, and I struggle with Old Testament because there's just so many names and so many things. I don't understand. You know, you can show me that region. You can show me that region of where this all took place. I have no idea. You can tell me that's where Iran is today. Still doesn't mean much to me, right? But we're going to go into some other stuff where I think it's a little simpler. I want to go back to Exodus. And this, if you, you know me, you know this is my favorite, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. The whole Exodus blows my mind. We're going to talk today just about a small portion. And this, I want you to understand, the Israelites were enslaved for hundreds of years. Hundreds. You know, they didn't have to go through a 4-year presidency. They were under the same grueling taskmasters and leadership from Pharaoh or whoever for hundreds of years. So, Matt, your 20 years doesn't look so bad. But here in verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we got big milk drinkers in the crowd today. Matt is, right? Anybody like honey? My wife does. Again, that's kind of the way I learn is, okay, milk and honey. I can envision that land flowing with milk and honey. Probably doesn't look the way it was supposed to look, in my mind. But here Jesus, or God says, I heard your cries, people. I heard your cries. I'm going to give you a great place to go live. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And we know this is God speaking to Moses, and Moses doesn't want to do it. And we know the end of the story. But the important thing is, I want you to understand, is God hears us in our troubles. God hears us in our trials. Now, sometimes we have to stay in our trials. Sometimes we have to learn from our troubles. Because what God wants from us at the end requires us to know what's going on right now. So if you're stuck in that situation, understand it's not because you're cursed, it's because you're blessed. What? If you're stuck in a situation and you're stuck in a little bit of trouble, understand God is not going anywhere. God is still listening. But God is going to use this trouble later on in your life. His plan is perfect. Even though we don't understand it, we don't like it sometimes, we have to be patient and wait for God on His time and His will. Let's go to 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13. And it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Guys, it didn't say if we ask God anything because it's good for us. It didn't say if we got to ask God anything because I need that new car. If we ask God anything because I don't want to go to work anymore. It says if we ask God anything in His will. We have to give up what we want to be in God's will. Not necessarily give up what we want. But we have to take us out of it, and we have to pray to God to do His will in my life. Because His will might be a little bit different than what I want. But it's going to be much, much, much better. And a lot of times that's hard. You know, as young Christians, we don't understand God's will. It's part of the growing process. You know, we don't understand that, God, I was supposed to be a phys ed teacher. Or I was supposed to be a math teacher. Now I'm out selling Coca-Cola. That was hard for me. But you know what? When I held my first child, my second child, and my third child, and I knew I was able to financially support them, it made sense. And I see young male teachers now and some of the stuff they're faced with, and I was going to be a high school teacher, and we need male teachers, but I understand why we don't have a bunch of them. So it's God's will in my life for me to be where I am. We have to learn the difference between what I want and what God's will is. But I challenge you, as you're praying, to still be bold, but you need to ask it in God's will. You know, there's times we've prayed for miracles, and guess what? We've had it. You know, last Saturday night, I get a phone call, or I called Jesse. Julie came up to me at a wedding and said, "Hey, Les in the hospital, I think he's had a heart attack." What? So I called Jesse, and Jesse was sitting in the parking lot because the hospital's only let one person go in. And then later, I get the call back and says, "Hey, he was dehydrated." Listen, if you don't think that was people praying in God's will to heal. So I called last Monday night. I said, "How you doing?" "Good." "You get some rest today?" "Oh no, I went back to work." "You what?" Hey, God's will is perfect, people. God's will is perfect. He healed Les. Boom. Right now, Les said within an hour, he felt better. And that is crazy. There's only one reason for that. It's right there. Psalm 66. I didn't mark anything because I wanted to be on the same time frame as everybody else. Psalm 66. And you know what? We're not going to leave any of it out. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. And this is a song. I'm not going to sing it to you. Okay? That would be bad. That's not in God's will. He wants me to read it. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You and they sing praise to You. They sing praises of Your name. Come and see what God has done, His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Guys, that's kind of where we're at right now. And God's going to fight it back. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has persevered. He has preserved. Jeez, read. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to You. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to You as in an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all who fear God. Let me tell You what He has done for me. And here's where I really wanted to get to, but I want you to understand all that praise beforehand. Verse 17, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened, and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Guys, that's pretty cool. And that talks about sin in there. You know, and if we don't cherish, if we cherish sin in our heart, what does that mean? It means we don't give it to God. If you sin and you don't give it to God, what are you keeping that sin around for? We need to give God everything. The good, the bad, the ugly. He can handle it. He can handle it. And he's going to listen to it. Let's go to John chapter 9. This is a time when there's a lot of questions in here. If you read the top half of the chapter, I want to focus on verse 28 and below. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Then the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will." Verse 32, "Nobody has ever heard of the opening eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Guys, when we pronounce our God, there's going to be some people that don't like it. There's going to be some people that don't like it. But when we pronounce our God because of what he's done for us, we can't go wrong. Yeah, are people going to call me names? Okay. Are people going to make fun of me? Okay. Are people going to beat me up? I don't know, maybe. It may come to that. I don't think right now we're living in Morrow County, Ohio, I'm going to get beat up by saying, "Hey, I love God." But if I lived in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq, I very well get worse than beaten up. Guys, we can't handle that yet. We have got to listen to what our God wants us to do. And I sincerely think that God is working through churches in this United States, and he's building up everybody right now. It's coming. I don't know when. It could be 100 years from now. The day is coming when our God's coming back. And the question I want to ask you today is, do you know that he listens to everything you say, think, or do? He's going to put you in situations. They're going to be uncomfortable. It's going to make you grow. But he wants us to do his will while we're here. But you need to understand that he listens to everything you say. If you ask him why this is going on, guess what? You're probably going to get an answer. It may not come today. It may not come right now like we want it. Fast food society. But you're going to get an answer in prayer. But we need to pray everything in God's will, not in our will. Why is prayer important if God knows what's going on? God already knows what's in me today. God already knows that I'm a broken, broken man, sinner. He knows it. Okay? He looks inside of me every single day. Why do I need to pray? He already knows it. Why? Because if God gave us that choice and He wants to have that relationship with us. No other reason. God doesn't need me. I need God. And He's listening. He's listening. I'm going to end with 1 Peter. Chapter 3. We're going to do verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let me reread that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Guys, our Lord is attentive to us always. Always. Why is it so hard for us to do what we're told? We have the plan in here, guys. We have the way, the truth, the life. Right here. I mean, read it. We have the instruction manual for living by people that lived before us. By stories that God created in the Bible, situations God created in the Bible. And we also know that God listens all the time. Can you imagine walking down the streets and wanting to be close enough to Jesus to touch His cloak because you know He's going to heal you? That's a God thing. That's not a person thing. That's not a Matt thing. That's not a Tim thing. That's a God thing. If you were walking down the street with Jesus, like Matt has used a couple times in the last couple times he's preached, just walking with Jesus, and you see people diving in His cloak so they can touch it, how powerful is that? But you know what we miss from that whole thing? Because the one story I remember is they barely grazed His cloak. Because Jesus is so attentive to us, He felt it. Nobody else even knew she touched His cloak. But He knew exactly who it was and what He had done. And what did He say? By your faith, you are healed. That is His will. Guys, we need to be bold. We serve a God that listens. We serve a God that can take care of any problem we have. And we serve a God that's never going to quit on us. You know, so many times in relationships what happens is we don't listen and then one side quits. And that's why relationships fail. Guys, you're in the perfect relationship that your partner in this relationship is never going to quit on you. He's never going to shut you out. He's never going to not listen to you. And he's going to take you to a home for eternity. No more suffering. No more shame. No more sin. Just pure joy for eternity. That is pretty cool, and that's where I want to be. Your God is always listening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and I thank you for giving me the words that you want brought out, Lord. But we need to understand that you're always here, you're always present, you're always wanting what's best for us. Even though we grumble, even though we stumble, even though we fall, you're always there to pick us up. You're always there to listen. You're always there to fix what needs to be fixed, Lord, and to open the doors that we need you to open, because we can't do it on our own. Lord, we just love you. We thank you, and we look forward to the day that we spend with you in eternity. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders, Lord, today, that they just get back to following your will. Get back to following your plan for this nation, Lord. And just we know that you can take care of all that ails us, all that just irritates us, Lord. And we ask you to do that today, Lord. Be with this church as we go throughout the week, and put us in situations that we can go out there and we know that you are listening, and we know that you're in charge, Lord, and we know that you put us here for a reason. In your name we pray. Amen. So the praise team will be here. They're going to close us up with a song. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need prayer for anything, Les and Jesse and I will be here. You know, the one thing you need to understand is three of us and Matt.